Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Prints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Prints at instantprints.com/Boise or call 200-IMPRINTS, that's 208-467-7468. Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Carl Felt, and with me, I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed. So, don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Welcome to another episode of Integrative Lyme Solution with Dr. Carl Felt. And here today with us, we have JP Davitt. JP, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, Lyme is obviously something that devastates a lot of people's lives. You know, how did it impact you? I mean, how did you find out about that?
It was 2005. I was a lacrosse player. I played my entire life. I played Division I at the Virginia Military Institute, and I was still training, and I was training hard. I wanted to play for professional lacrosse, and what happened was I just started to feel a little bit weaker, and I ended up collapsing on a squat rack. And it was from that moment on that that I had started to kind of identify with chronic illness, not knowing that it was necessarily Lyme, but that was in 2005. And then for me, it was really debilitating for about 10 years after that till 2015, and for about 6 years of that, devastating to the point where, you know, every day I would come home and lay across my bed and cry. And, I lived alone, and, it was just really, really a dark existence for a while with a lot of pain.
And so symptom wise, it was mostly pain that you're dealing with, or what was some of the symptoms that you're dealing with? I mean, fatigue, digestive, brain fog. I mean, what else was going on?
So I have about, I had 40 plus symptoms, that I listed, ongoing, and, I really tracked, I write a lot about it in my book, Lyme book, as well as I tracked it on a software that I created for Lyme patients to work together online. But it started with bilateral and both feet pain on my arches. It was diagnosed as plantar fasciitis, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse at the bottoms of my feet. And then they became hardened, and then what I felt was I felt like that pain and discomfort and tightness moved from my feet to my ankles to my calves and up my legs and throughout the rest of my body. A lot of physical symptoms, as well as a ton of fatigue, and then the mental. You know, really felt like my brain was on fire. I had no type of memory. I only had three drawers. I wore a suit every single day to work, and I had an underwear drawer, a t-shirt drawer and then a sock drawer. And for the life of me, I couldn't remember which one was which when I had Lyme. So it was always forgetting things. And the pain, you know, I've had a lot of, you know, crazy injuries. I've broken maybe 15 to 20 bones. Some wild things, a lot of stitches and, from, riding dirt bikes and things like that. But, I've never felt any pain, like that of, you know, the cause, the nervous system pain, being on fire, like Lyme disease. I described it, you know, a lot of times as, you know, really a 9 or a 10 out of 10 every single day. I couldn't climb the stairs. A walk to the end of the block was definitely my entire day. I always felt like I had to get exercise, but it was, you know, like the idea of spooning energy. I thought that that was okay. I thought that that was the right move a lot of times, but I would spend my energy trying to exercise, getting the blood flowing, but would always pay for it for a day or two.
And how did all of this affect you mentally? I mean, that must have been rough. I mean, here you're this active, you know, athlete, and you're used to being able to accomplish a lot and do a lot and rely on your body for it. And then all of a sudden it just shuts down and it becomes your enemy. I mean, how did that impact you emotionally?
Yeah. Emotionally it was brutal. Mostly, you know, I was, you know, just looking back on it, not identifying, with any one thing or another, but an A type personality, an athlete, always had to win. You know, it was, usually me inflicting the pain on other people. And now I'm, having the pain inflicted on me. It was emotionally devastating and humbling. It was, you know, every single day, like to even admit now, that I would come home and lay across my bed and cry, you know, just to feeling sorry for myself. I would have never admitted that, you know, in 2005, I was a man's man that was, you know, basically just, humbled, you know, by that pain. I remember one idea, in particular. I'm a financial advisor, and I've always, like my entire life, I've worked since the day I was 12, carrying golf bags and caddying, but, so always physical, but, as a financial advisor, I remember, I went golfing, while I was sick with this, dentist that, you know, I was looking to, acquire as a client. And I remember telling him, that, you know, if I had indispensable funds, if I could do absolutely anything, in the end, it would be to help people with anxiety, because my anxiety was so, so terrible every single day. It was just constantly worry.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what kind of diagnosis did you have to go through before you got to the point of knowing that this was Lyme?
So this was 2005, and there really wasn't that much diagnosed Lyme back then. So they definitely did inflammation tests, but you know, there really wasn't too many tests. So you know, I had at this point I was working at a small bank, but previous to that, I worked for this this larger bank where my mentor, her brother was the CEO of my health insurance company, and so he got me in with her, who was my mentor, in to see who I thought were the best of the best doctors. I mean, I live in Pittsburgh, and there's this University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. I thought it was, you know, the beta. Greatest medical treatment, you know, that there was. The Pirates were there. The Steelers were there. You know, running into, you know, like old Penguins, that Stanley Cup champs, in the office. We've got the same doctors, and my diagnosis was, you know, we really don't know, but you know, for the neurological pain, he, you know, Cymbalta, which are antidepressants, were the typical diagnosis. And I remember one specific. Trip to see this doctor, the current Steelers doctor, as well. And I've traveled all over to get answers, but, you know, it was neat because, you know, there, all medicine is not created equal. Like, there are places where you can get like a ton of tests all done in one day. If you have the right insurance and, you know, the right connections, which is wild to me. That was mind blowing in itself. But, I remember having a stress test and not being able to pass it, and how defeating that was, because I actually, my grandmother, she was 92, passed the same stress test just a few weeks before, and my heart rate, I didn't take too much into this, but my heart rate was 40 beats per minute, and they said it was because I was an athlete, but I knew that obviously was not the case.
So here you have your 92-year-old grandma passing the test, and you're an athlete and you can't.
No, I couldn't even finish it. They actually had to keep restarting it because I couldn't finish it. It was too intense.
Yeah. How long? So this started, you know, way back when, and how long did it take then before you got the actual? And I mean, why did you start to look towards Lyme? I mean, how was it a doctor that gave you that indication, or did you do it on your own?
So I had taken a Lyme test from my primary care that I asked actually to have the test taken. And the Western blot came back negative, and so I just ruled out Lyme. And we had tried a round of doxycycline, more like a 5 to 7 days in the beginning, but without really any change. So we kind of rolled out. I became very desperate and started reaching out to anyone that I could, because I thought I was going to die. And I was begging my doctors to cut my legs off at this time, like literally say, like, can please cut my legs off. Like, this is not worth it. And so my friend had actually told me about I thought it was voodoo, but he told me about this doctor who did muscle testing. And it was about a half hour away. And I was like, I put no faith in this. I'm only Western medicine. I was about as scientific as absolutely as it could get. Only Western medicine. I've got the best of the best doctors. So here's me. He had to convince me to go. It was a lot, kind of last ditch effort. But the way that he got at me was he told me that his friend, his coworker, who was his mentor, he actually. I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma, and this lady who he went to see through herbs resolved his stage 4 lymphoma in like 3 weeks. And the doctors they couldn't believe it. So I said, okay, I'll go see, this lady. So I remember at this point I was wearing like really big orthotic shoes with a suit. It was really a sad situation, but I remember crying. Really, really crying in the car outside, saying, I don't even want to go into this. I can't believe this is real. I went in there and she muscle tested me, and I could all but laugh. Like I was really a jerk. So she's trying to help me, and I'm laughing at like how crazy this is. And so she muscle tested me with all these herbs, and she sent me home with an herb called SPK by Kroger Herb. And I took that SPK, that day, and, for 3 days I herxed like crazy. I had, I could just feel like this die off coming out of my head, from my forehead, down in my nose, out my nose. I went through 3 boxes of Kleenex in basically 3 days. I didn't sleep for 3 days. And after the third day, that's when I really developed my motto, one day better every single day going forward, no matter what, because I hadn't slept in 3 days and I felt better than I did the prior 6 years. So I knew I had it. I knew there was some sort of catalyst here that was going to help me resolve.
I'm curious, what's in that product, the SBK? I mean, what is that?
Well, after years of research, I firmly believe that herbs work synergistically, not just like the individuals. But there is there's monolaurin, there's tobacco leaf, there is stinging nettle, and I think there's another bark. So there's like 4 or 5 active ingredients in it.
JP, I kind of chuckled a little bit when you said you met your doctor that was going to do muscle testing and you thought it was a little voodoo, because I said those same exact words when I met Dr. Carl Felt and he was going to do muscle testing. I thought, this is kind of voodoo and even a little bit witchcrafty. However, my result went, once he started the testing, I didn't think he was crazy. I actually thought it was pretty fascinating and incredible. So I think it's super important that people know more about this muscle testing. Not only do I think it's super accurate, it's a way to kind of be able to track your journey of your recovering process while you're going through the treatment, because each time you go and visit your doctor, you can actually get muscle tested. So it's not like you have to go and spend thousands of dollars to get a Lyme test to kind of see where you are in the process of your journey. So muscle testing is just top notch in my book, but I like the voodoo thing, because it's definitely not voodoo.
Well, what's wild about that, Tanya, is like, I had no idea, you know, what was going on. And obviously mind blown, because as a 25-year-old or 26, it was probably later, like a 30-year-old at that time, you think you're the smartest person in the entire world. Like, you know, like there's nothing else that could come up that that could surprise you. And then I really had grown to, you know, to understand more about, you know, healing, muscle testing and things like that. And now looking at it, it's a scientific a way to, you know, to kind of narrow in a product or not a product, you know, a treatment as there exists. So it's funny, like to some people, you know, it from the outside in, it can definitely look like magic, but there is definitely a science to it.
And like you were talking about that you did the Western blot test, which is what, you know, any medical doctor, that's what they do. And they think that that is a gold standard. But, you know, we know how, you know, how inaccurate it is. I mean, how frequent the false negatives are.
The only way I really knew, you know, that it was Lyme after, you know, I had to read up on what the herbs I were taking were like to kill what it was. And then, you know, I had gotten Igenics test, and that was when it showed positive for the Lyme and Bartonella.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that there are some tests out there that are really good, and but, you know, patients need to know that even the really good ones can still show false positive. I'm sorry, false negative, false positive. But I mean, if it's a positive, it's a positive.
So, did you do the Igenics test after you did the muscle testing, just for confirmation?
Yes. Just for confirmation, just for mental, my own mental.
Because it was a blood test and not a little bit of voodoo.
Yes.
So after you started with the SBK and then you said herxing, what does that mean?
So that was something that, you know, that I had to become familiar with, was this, this massive die-off that occurred, whenever you find the right treatment. And, you know, I'm really a firm believer that when you find the right treatment, you know, it will be a catalyst very quickly, like definitely within a week, you will see a change. And, so for me, the herxing was the die-off, and then the stuff has to come out of you somewhere. For me, it was all up in my head, mostly at that point, I guess, in my head, and that needed to come out, the die-off of the actual Lyme bacteria. But as I was treating, so I developed this process, kill, dissolve, bind, and it was just for me to mentally understand what I had to do and the processes that I had to do, the repetitive processes that I had to do in order to kill it, then dissolve both the cysts and the neurotoxins, and then continuously bind it, whether in the intestines or in the bloodstream. And what I did was, what I found out was that every single time that I would kill the bacteria or target, kill it with, there's lots of things that kill Lyme. I mean, you know, a ton of things that work. It's just the process over and over again that you have to do. But that herx would get, it would get less and less and less and less until, so that I was able to actually stand it, just know it was coming. I was going to have a bad day when I was treating, but so I would kill it. kill the bacteria with SPK or oreganol or, you know, something like that. I would dissolve it with enzymes or, you know, something to dissolve it and then bind it up, the actual neurotoxins in the intestines and in the bloodstream.
And you're talking about bacteria. I mean, you have Lyme disease, as you know, the spirochete, Borrelia, but what other? It usually comes along with a bunch of co-infections, and I mean, so did you deal with a bunch of co-infections with it as well, or was it just Lyme, or just the Borrelia?
So as the co-infections that, that we usually talk about associated with Lyme, it was Bartonella. And that is a bad disease. When it comes to co-infections, like, I really feel like your body gets so beat down that you just get all kinds of bacterial infections and viral infections and yeast infections. You know, that it, like, basically all co-infections. So I think the best thing that I learned, the takeaway was always to have something that can kill bacteria, something that can fight virus, something that can fight candida, on hand at all times through those processes to really start to understand co-infections. I think is the key, the secret to resolving Lyme.
And how did you know when to do what? I mean, what to go after, a virus, go after bacteria, go after a parasite? I mean, how did you know when to do what?
I'm kind of like a guinea pig. You know, a lot of people will wait for their doctors to tell them what to do. I had so many doctors, I was just pinning, like, I would just continuously ask one, you know, each time, like, what does this sound like? What should I do here? What should I do here? But then I started to create an awareness with, you know, kind of within myself. And it never comes right away, but, you know, really to concentrate on, you know, what it is. And, you know, if it was something in my sinuses or something where it just hit me and it was more of an acute, like, I got worse over a 2-day period, I'd always hit it with oregano oil or colloidal silver. Ear infections were a big deal with myself and Tanya. And I would always have both colloidal silver, and peroxide, around, to clear out ears, as that can change you really quickly. And then virus, if it wasn't either of those, I figured it had to be a virus. So I have this stuff called VSC, which, even worked for a lot of my friends with Corona. But that stuff crushes viruses. So I would just always try to pay attention and an awareness, to my body and the changes that would occur, and then try one. If it's not one, it's got to be another.
And after this whole journey, I mean, you've really worked hard then in helping other people and creating resources for other people dealing with Lyme. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I mean, you told me you've written a book as well, and also now you have a website. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I created this web platform. It's like online dating for wellness. It matches individuals who are chronic. The idea is to match them with individuals who have had the same symptoms but have resolved them. And so everyone has an interactive timeline in which they use symptoms and then matching to find mentors on there. But, also it helps by using, symptom menus, I have it coded for individuals, the most, popular symptoms of Lyme disease. I didn't really have any background, in a medical background. So, then I felt like I needed credibility to launch this. So I wrote my book, and my book has 3 sections. I changed the name from the Better Book to the Lyme Book, because people weren't quite understanding it, but it's how I help myself, how you can help yourself, and then how we can all work together through Lyme Friends digital, digital platform. So I'll be launching that. And then, I have another, basically our resource library. It's called LimeStream, and it's where I've aggregated, and anyone can aggregate. Anyone can work on it. I invite everyone, if you got a great video, we'll put this on there to post it and help people to build their knowledge through video. So I have one interaction you can learn from other people, one you can learn from the book, then the other one would be LimeStream, which is an aggregator, a video aggregator, so we can all learn from one another. And then I also built a web class that is called Lime IQ, and there's about I go into really a lot of depth on kill, dissolve, bind, and then I have about 20 or so other recorded and animated videos there to try to, my goal was to catch people up in like a day with all the knowledge that I gained over the, 10 years, fighting Lyme, going to see 100 different doctors, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I put it all out there free for everybody because, that's what we need. So, so it'll be all out Monday.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, JP, it's been, I know Tanya has spoken so highly of you, and I've gotten to peruse your, what you have out there so far. And it's really amazing what you do, the resources you're creating for the people dealing with Lyme. And like you're saying, it's such a devastating disease. And after hundreds of thousands and after decade of suffering, I mean, to be able to kind of shorten that learning curve, for less money and less time, I mean, that's awesome. So thank you so much for coming on the show today. Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you by Coffee and Supply Company. Looking for a new coffee experience? Try Coffee and Supply Company, located in Eagle, Idaho. It's family-owned and features a pour-over bar, a unique bites menu including vegan and gluten-free options, all locally sourced. Mention Speak Boise and receive 10% off any food and beverages. Visit coffeeandsupplyco.com or follow them at Coffee and Supply Co.
Need help growing your business? It's what you don't know that will cost you. Talu Peer Advisory Groups is here for every stage of your business growth. Find out more at talloo.com. Attention Idaho and California residents. If you're shopping for a mortgage, contact PacFi, a mortgage brokerage with the top wholesale lenders in the nation. They are committed to simplifying the mortgage process, saving you time and money. Call 858-442-7048 or visit pacfi.com, NMLS number 1462943, equal housing lender.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt.